Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Andrew, happy Wednesday.
Hey, happy Wednesday.
All right. Well, I mean, for us, it's a happy Wednesday, but I think part of that is because we don't have these keyboards that people are sort of mad about. And that is the butterfly keyboard, which people may have heard a lot about. And it turns out enough people are unhappy with the fact that they sort of quit working if you kind of look at them real hard and think ill thoughts, apparently. That's about how sturdy they are. Andrew, you found something about this. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so basically Apple announced that they're finally taking the issue seriously because people have been experiencing certain problems with the, with these keyboards, like sometimes letters repeat or they don't appear at all, or maybe the keys feel sticky.
Basically, so failure says, is what we're talking about, is you are typing and what you are type, what the keys that you are pressing and what comes up on the screen are totally not the same in some cases.
Yeah. So now, and up until now, Apple hasn't really publicly acknowledged that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. But now they say that they're publicly saying, we know this is happening, and they're telling Apple retail stores to give people a one-day turnaround time when it comes to repairing them. But it's only for certain MacBooks.
Mm-hmm. But it does seem to be a whole, for the record, it seems to be a whole lot of them. Because it's MacBooks from 2015, 16, and 17. And it's models of MacBook Pro from 2016, 2017, regardless of how many Thunderbolt ports they have. And 15-inch MacBook Pros from 2016 and 2017. So Apple has a support page about this that we will make sure to put into the show notes. And part of that that's interesting to me is that it says, note, no other Mac notebook models are part of this program. And John, you noticed that that was an interesting thing to put in as part of this service record.
Trying to sort this out from what Joanna Stern said at the Wall Street Journal. Officially, Apple has yet to extend the repair program to the 2018 MacBook Pro and 2018 MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. But Apple seems to have nevertheless invited customers. Those machines are under warranty. So apparently Apple's apologized and invited those customers to bring their 2018 MacBook Pro or MacBook Air in for an adjustment as well. That's what I understand it. Did I get that right?
Well, that's how it sounds. What we know about that, obviously,
is the official page doesn't include those devices.
Right. But I think part of that might be that those are also not covered under the basic. The 2018s are covered under the 1-year warranty that a computer that Apple computers just come with, and these other computers are not. And so maybe that's the reason that the 2018s don't show up on this list, is because you can still bring that in and it's considered a warranty repair or replacement, you know, depending. And these other computers would be more than a year old, and so they'd be out of that given warranty. They may still be under AppleCare, but they wouldn't be under any actual warranty. And it does say on the page that there's a covered if it's within 4 years of the date of purchase.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. That makes sense. The wording is to complete a repair. I wonder what that repair constitutes—a replacement of the same kind of keyboard, or is it just attention to the sticking keys? I'm curious.
Well, I think it might depend on what it is that is the problem, because I know some people have said, like, I got a tiny bit of something under, you know, in between my keys, and now those two keys don't work. And, you know, that's a thing where somebody could maybe, with a little patience and, you know, can of air and whatever, like, pop off some keys, get some stuff out from underneath them, and put the thing back together and give it back to you. And if that's all it is,
debris in the keyboard, that's the major issue, as I understand it.
Yeah, because there's so little travel that you are preventing what little travel there is with a tiny bit of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a 2018 MacBook Pro and a 2015 MacBook, and we never had a problem, but then we don't eat cookies while we're typing either.
Well, I don't either, but like I generally don't have food at all at my desk, but I still turn it over and get a lot of stuff out of it when I clean my keyboard out, you know, regularly. Really? So, you know, that there, I think that's part of the issue is that just over time, if you don't have like a guard, you know, one of those covers over the top of your keyboard, then you can end up with schmutz underneath it, you know, to use the technical term. Yeah, schmutz. You know, you can get stuff underneath, and then, you know, part of the problem is Apple's revolutionary new keyboard. I know you like it, John, but I typed on your keyboard and it just mostly made me mad.
I love the key butterfly keyboard. Yeah. And I love the short throw, and it occurs to me that it's a really tough engineering challenge Apple, because if you're going to build a short throw keyboard that has the mechanism the way it does, how do you keep people from getting debris in there? I mean, it's not an engineering redesign. It's a human factors element.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and
I feel for the Apple engineers trying to solve this.
Well, I want to, but at the same time, what was wrong with what's wrong with the keyboard that I have on my 2015 laptop, for example, which does not have a butterfly keyboard on it?
Like, oh, it's not thin enough.
It's a standard issue Chiclet keyboard, and I still think my computer is completely within acceptable values for Svelte, and is really nice.
Thin enough. Your MacBook can never be too thin or too rich.
Right, but I do know that's true. I do know a couple of people who have said that they regret getting that keyboard because everything they type sounds like they are furious and taking it out on their computer. So I know at least two different people who have told me that story. Like, you know, we got this new computer and like everything I type sounds like I'm furious all the time. You know, even like I'm typing happy birthday on Facebook and it just sounds like I'm so mad, I think was the message. So I think for
You've
me,
that's
Jeff the
Cannon's
thing.
Mattias Pro.
Yes, I too have a Mattias Pro, and it's my favorite keyboard.
Clickety clackety click.
It is the sound of productivity. It is the most beautiful thing to type on that you've ever heard.
I gave it up. I went back to the Apple aluminum keyboard with a 2mm throw.
Yeah, the Chiclet keyboard. The Chiclet keyboard is fine. That's where I'm at. The silver keyboard with the springy keys. Yeah. That was actually nice. If I type too long on my laptop keyboard, it makes my fingers tired because I'm used to having actual throw because I use a Mattias keyboard the rest of the time. It's beautiful and I love it. And it is a thing of beauty to me. Like I said, it's the sound of productivity. But
I know how Apple's going to solve this problem.
How is Apple going to solve this problem?
We're going to have virtual keyboards on our MacBook Pros like the iPads.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Because the no millimeter throw of the butterfly keyboard is going to be so much better than the actual flat surface of just typing on my desk.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for that because, you know, a whole generation of kids have grown up on iPads, typing on iPads.
With their thumbs. Mm-hmm. These kids aren't typing on iPads. They're typing with their thumbs.
I came up with an idea a couple minutes ago. So instead of a virtual keyboard, you know, with all these problems of people having debris under their keys, what if they just bring the iPad smart keyboard, the physical one, over to the Mac?
See, the membrane over the top is the way to go.
It could be even thinner.
Yeah. And it's sealed. Tell me how you get stuff under the keyboard of your iPad. You don't.
Then you have to drop the Pro part. The MacBook doofus.
Because it's got a good keyboard that you actually can't get stuff underneath and make broken?
Right.
Yeah, see, when Andrew eats cookies over his keyboard, it doesn't matter. Because he just tilts it to the side and the keyboard is clean. There's nothing underneath. Like, that's the thing I don't understand I don't get why that's the problem Apple didn't solve. Which is getting stuff under your keys at all, which is terrible. And I'm guessing... And I am guessing, I'm totally guessing, because I haven't typed on the Apple Smart Folio keyboard situation. I typed on the first one. I haven't typed on one since. And it's probably about the same throw as the butterfly keyboard. So why aren't they doing that? That would be a much better idea, I think. It seems
also, I think there would be a strong, visceral, emotional reaction to anything but a physical keyboard on a MacBook Pro.
Right.
I think people are so used to typing on a real keyboard, they would go nonlinear if you presented them with the iPad type touch, virtual keyboard. It just wouldn't work on a Pro.
That's a very charitable description of what I would do if Apple took my keyboard away, John. Yeah,
I know.
Very just charitable.
Just introduce it on one model at a time, like just the MacBook.
Yes, the MacBook is the one that they don't even bother putting a keyboard on anymore. That's going to go really well. As anybody who listens to this show know, I have strong feelings about keyboards. And yes, but I do, Andrew, think you're onto something with why isn't it just a sealed keyboard? Because that's one of the big advantages to the Folio, to the smart keyboard, is that you can't get stuff under the keys because there's nowhere for it to go. So that seems like an interesting idea. If anything changes with the keyboard, we will absolutely let you know about it. And in the meantime, you can talk to us about your keyboard. Do you use a keyboard that Apple gave you? Did you buy one from Apple? Did you buy one from somebody else? Do you also think the Cherry MX switch is the sound of productivity? You can let us know by emailing observations@macobserver.com. You can come tell us at TMO Daily, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And the other thing we want to talk about today is sort of a PSA, but also something pretty interesting. Steve Sandy over at Apple World Today, an old Tuwa colleague of mine, wrote this article about SSD upgrades. And Andrew, you had found this first, right? Let's talk about it.
I think I found it.
John found it. Okay.
Yeah. It's from December, but it's still pretty good. And it's at the Other World Computing site.
It's over at Apple World Today. And John, what does he have to say about getting an SSD put into your computer?
Well, the TLDR version is that there's five really good reasons for having an SSD in your Mac. They're faster. They're survivable for mild bumps more than a hard disk with a mechanism. They last longer. They use less power. And they're quieter. But basically, they're the future. And my advice to people who are getting ready to buy a Mac is do not buy a Mac with a hard disk anymore, ever. Hard disks are dead. They're gone. They're cheap for Time Machine. They're cheap for external backup storage. But your boot drive must be an SSD and not a Fusion drive either. Fusion drive is a carryover, sort of trying to bridge the gap between hard disks and SSDs when SSDs were too expensive. They're not too expensive anymore.
Yeah,
I bought a terabyte SSD about the size of a pack of chewing gum for like $220 the other day.
And if you are looking to, if you're not necessarily looking to increase the space in your computer and you want to get something about the same size, you can generally do so for between $100 and maybe $150. And some of them regularly go on sale for under $100. So, if $220 to put into that laptop you have, for example, sounds like kind of a lot of money. If you have something that's got like a 240 gigabyte drive in it and you're not using all that space, or even like a 500 and you're not using all that space, 500 gigabyte drive, you can get an SSD for one of those pretty easily. I'm in the process of helping one of my family members get upgraded from the platter drive in the laptop now to something newer. And looking at that, it's about $70 to $90. And I think at the end of it, the laptop's going to have more disk space, so to speak, after the upgrade for, under $100.
Two things here. If you've got a Mac that's hard to open up and you're skeptical about your ability to crack open an iMac display and get in there, Otherworld Computing will do this for you and ship it back to you. And two, I bought one of the first Macs with an SSD in 2010. I bought a 27-inch iMac. And since then, my wife has inherited it and uses it for various things. And those were the early days of SSDs. And there's this myth that, not a myth, but a sort of a scary notion that SSDs have limited write-read cycles. But we've used this machine productively for 9 years, and it was one of the first SSDs. Technology certainly advanced since then, and it's just working perfectly. I mean, it just boots up. It's just a perfect Mac. So if you're concerned about the lifetime of an SSD, don't be. It's going to last a long time.
Right. And the other thing to note is that if you have a computer with a spinning drive in it now, this is going to be the most significant upgrade that you can give your machine. I've done a couple of these. That's why I know. If you have a spinning hard drive in it now, and you remove that spinning drive and you put in this SSD, a solid state drive, then you will get so much more speed and so much more responsiveness out of your computer. And upgrading RAM is a nice thing. Like, that used to be a thing that we used to talk about doing to your computer. Like, it was pretty sort of standard to upgrade the memory so that you got a little bit more space, you know, a little bit more mileage out of your machine. But moving to SSD is something that makes a whole lot of difference overall. And that's been my experience.
Apple's new file system, APFS, is optimized for SSDs, not for hard disks.
Right. That helps, too. Now, Andrew, is your computer spinning drive or flash drive? Solid state?
This is solid state. My MacBook is 2014, so I'm all solid state all the way, and it's great.
Yeah, I have a 15, and I'm solid state as well. And what's interesting is that my previous iteration machine is still in use at my house, and just even noticing like the difference in the weight between the two models. Like, yes, they get thinner and lighter all the time, but I think part of that is spinning drives are heavy, and so my computer is physically lighter on top of really being super responsive. And upgrading, you know, to that SSD is not complicated if you have, you know, if you have the tools to do it. And basically by tools, I mean a tiny little screwdriver and some patience. I'm guessing if you're listening to this show, you have internet access, which means you can go to ifixit.com and you can find the guide there if it's something that you want to do yourself. And you can look at it and see. How many steps is this? Is it going to be super complicated? Is it going to be a hard thing for me to do? And if you look at it and you have to nope out of cracking open your computer, which is totally fine, there are places that may be able to do it for you and may charge you a fee to do that. Do know that if you have a more recent machine that has a spinning drive in it, it will probably void your warranty to swap that out. So this tends to be a thing that I only recommend to people if it's not under Apple Care anymore, if it's not under warranty anymore, but you know that you're still going to get a bunch of valid use out of that computer for a while to come. It might be nice to put $100 into that machine and get a whole bunch more life out of it because it's so much faster and nicer to use. Again, it's almost like it's new. And that's a thing that I've generally done. And I've, like I said, I've replaced a few. I have a really awesome screwdriver set from iFixit. And OWC makes it very easy to find the parts that you need. I know they will do it for you. And also, if you decide that you want to do it yourself, or you know somebody like me who likes cracking open computers and swapping out hardware, you can get all the parts from them. They have a really nice guides that show you step by step which things you need. And, you know, if you don't have any tools for it, here's the tools you need. And you probably ought to have some of this. And they do a really good job of making that easy to follow and easy to purchase. So you get like all the stuff you need all at once. It's really nice. So Andrew, have you replaced any of these?
Not in a Mac. I have done some work on Windows PCs in the past. So, but I don't think that was SSDs. These were the traditional hard drives.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they're fun to take apart and replace.
Yeah, but like even...
Tinker.
That was actually how I got started because I have much smaller hands than a lot of guys who work on computers. And so it was easier for me to reach that tiny little screw in the back than, you know, some other people had. So that was sort of how I accidentally got into it. Would you unscrew that thing for me so I can finish doing this? John, nice. I know that you have had one upgraded. Have you done any of those? Have you done any other upgrades or just that one machine with the SSD?
I'm trying to remember what you're talking about.
Swapping out to an SSD from a spinning drive.
I don't think I've ever done that. The first Mac I bought with an SSD was 2010, and they've been SSDs ever since.
Okay. So if you get an opportunity to upgrade, I recommend it. And there are lots of places where you can find people who are recommending particular kinds of drives. Like I said, iFixit has the guide step by step for taking out what's in the machine that you have if you want to be able to replace it with an SSD. They have that for lots of models. If you have a PC at home, the same thing applies. If you have a Windows machine and you upgrade it to SSD, it's also going to get dramatically faster because getting information, reading and writing information, all of that stuff is so much quicker when you don't have to spin the platters in order to make that happen.
And more reliable, too. Steve Sandy has some statistics in his article about failure rates.
Mm-hmm.
And SSDs compare very favorably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a thing. I mean, obviously, I know John recommends it. I absolutely recommend it. And definitely is an upgrade. It's one of the few things that in most Apple computers, you could still upgrade. Like, it's not the easiest thing to do in some cases, but it's definitely possible. And having that happen, having that be a possibility and a thing that you can do will definitely help you get more life out of your machine. And it's a very, very good way to go. I totally recommend it. If you've done this, or if you have tips for other people who have done this, just like before, you can catch us on Twitter at TMO Daily. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And I think that's going to do it for us today on this special hardware edition of Daily Observations. I'd like to thank my guests for being here. John, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont, and I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.